الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of Articles of Faith. Inshallah, in today's episode we will be discussing regarding the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our prophet, our master Rasulullah Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And definitely just the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his existence is a miracle as well, and without his existence this whole creation would not have been in existence as well. But first, let's listen to the excellences of reciting Salat and Salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, Imam Tabarani mentions a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever recites Salat upon me 3 times in a day and 3 times in the night, showing devotion and affection towards me, it is upon the mercy of Allah to forgive the sins he committed during that day and that night." Subhanallah. So if you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just 3 times in the day and just 3 times at the night, then inshallah the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah be upon us and we will be forgiven inshallah, as per the hadith. So let's all recite Salat and Salam with love and devotion. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last and final messenger of Allah. There is no other prophet after him. In fact, the Prophet himself has said, "La nabiyya ba'di," there is no prophet after me. He is the final of the prophets, as well as the seal to prophethood as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last of prophets and to be the seal of prophethood. Now, a question may arise in some people's mind that what if when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam comes, who we learned and listened to in regards to in last episode, Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he comes, wouldn't he be a prophet as well? So, my dear viewers, remember, when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam comes in the second coming, which will be closer to the Day of Judgment, then when he comes, he will not come as a new prophet. His prophethood will still remain, because remember, to believe that any prophet's prophethood to be diminished or to be removed, this is disbelief. So his prophethood will remain, but he will come as a ummati, as a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A person that does not believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last and final messenger and the seal to prophethood, then in this case, this person will actually be a kafir. He will be a disbeliever. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah number 40, translation from Kanzul Iman: Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is a Rasul of Allah and the last of all Anbiya, and Allah is all knowing. So from this verse of the Quran, we can understand that Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last of all Anbiya, the final, the seal of all prophets. Commentating on this verse, Imam Khazin rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Allah has ended Nabuwa by sending the beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now no Nabi will be after this beloved prophet, nor is there anyone who is in partner in Nabuwa. So no one will come as a new prophet, nor anyone will come that has partnership in Nabuwa as well. So from this we can understand that the belief of a Muslim, And it's one of the articles of faith, one of the fundamental beliefs of faith, that the Prophet Muhammad is the last and final messenger. Anyone who believes contrary to this and believes in Ma'adullah, some other prophet that has come after Prophet Muhammad, then that person is categorically a disbeliever and is not a Muslim. He is not from Islam. He has nothing to do with Islam. Now, inshallah, my dear viewers, we're going to discuss the beautiful mu'jizat, the miracles of our Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But first, let's define what a miracle is. An unusual and extraordinary action that occurs through a prophet, a Nabi, after the declaration of prophethood, after that Nabi has declared himself as a prophet of Allah, and that is impossible to occur in usual circumstances. So this action that a Nabi does that doesn't happen in usual circumstances, then this is called a mu'jiza. And there are three types of mu'jiza. Number one, that which is related to the physical body of the prophet himself. For example, fragrance coming from the body, or light coming from the body. Second is a temporary intentional mu'jiza. A temporary intentional mu'jiza, such as the staff being converted to a snake. For example, the staff of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam converted into a snake. And the third is a temporary unintentional mu'jiza. And an example of this is, for example, the Quran, the ayats of the Holy Quran. Mu'jiza distinguishes a true Nabi from a false one. So anyone who falsely claims to be a Nabi, they will not be able to show a mu'jiza. And this is the main proof of prophethood. A miracle, or doing something which is extraordinary, out of the norms, and that is performed by a Nabi, this is extra from ordinary things and is a miracle. And it's a proof of prophethood. There are other categories in regards to miracles. For example, a prophet, before the declaration of prophethood, before he announces himself as a prophet, then any miracle he does in that time, it will be known as irhas. Anything that is done after declaration of prophethood, that is specifically known as mu'jiza. Any miracle that is done by a saint of Allah, a wali of Allah, a saint of Allah, then that miracle is called karamat. Now let's listen to a few of the miracles of our Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam in regards to his physical appearance and his physical self. Imam Al-Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in his book Umdatul Qari that the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was in the hat of the Prophet's companion Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an. And he said that he always achieved victory over his enemies whenever he had that hat on. Subhanallah. And it's mentioned that once he was actually in battle and his hat, his imama, fell off. And because in that hat there was the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped everything that he was doing. He stopped fighting and he went and started searching for his hat or his imama that fell off. And people were, then later, they asked that, oh Khalid bin Walid, you were in the middle of fighting, in the middle of a battle, and what was he doing? You were searching for your hat. What was this, what's so special about this hat? It's then he mentioned that in this hat, I have the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through this is what I receive victory. Subhanallah, this was the i'tiqad, the belief of our companions. Sahaba, the companions, are like stars. Follow any one of them, you will receive guidance. So all the companions are a means of guidance for us. And definitely what the actions of the companions are a proof for us as well. So subhanallah, amazing to see that a warrior of Islam, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he would have the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart, and he would be victorious in his battles due to it. In the battle of Khaybar, the sore eyes of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala became well when the blessed saliva of the Prophet ﷺ was applied to them. SubhanAllah, this is in Sahih Bukhari. In Sahih Bukhari, Imam Bukhari mentions that when Sayyidina Ali's eyes became a little bit ill, they became sore. So the Prophet ﷺ applied his saliva to them and alhamdulillah, they became well. In another book, it's mentioned that when the Prophet ﷺ's saliva was mixed with water of the well, the water of the well started curing people. SubhanAllah. In Sahih Bukhari, it's mentioned that springs of water would spout from the blessed fingers of the Prophet ﷺ. SubhanAllah. In Sahih Muslim, it said that the blessed sweat of Rasulullah ﷺ would be extremely fragrant. SubhanAllah. Look at the Prophet ﷺ. How can anyone say that he was a person just like me and you, a human just like me and you? Me and you, we sweat, it is so smelly. We have to use fragrance and so many deodorants just to get rid of that smell. But the Prophet ﷺ definitely is a human, but his humanness is not like ours. And his sweat would be fragrant. SubhanAllah. This is our Prophet ﷺ. Salatullahi alayhi. In At-Tafsir Al-Kabir, Imam Fakhruddin Al-Razi, he mentions that while standing near water, before embracing Islam, Ikra bin Abi Jahl said to the Prophet ﷺ that if you are truthful, the stone laying at a distance should come with you whilst you do tasbih without sinking into the water. The beloved Prophet ﷺ then gestured towards the stone, and the stone came in the court of the Prophet ﷺ without sinking. And not just without sinking, but the stone then rather testified about the Prophet ﷺ being a prophet of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ asked, "Is this enough, Ikrimah?" And he replied, "The stone should now return back to the place." And then the stone was therefore returned back to the place. SubhanAllah. It's mentioned in the book As-Siratun Nabawiyyah of Imam Ibn Hisham that in the Battle of Badr, the sword of Sayyidina Uqasha bin Muhsin radiallahu ta'ala an, it broke. And he came in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and humbly mentioned his problem. Now, my dear viewers, another beautiful aspect that we can see from the life of the Sahaba is that whenever they had an issue, they wouldn't just resolve it themselves or look at solutions themselves. They would take it into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ would then give them the solution for these things as well. This was the i'tiqad, the belief of our Sahaba, that any problem occurs, let's go to the Prophet ﷺ. He should have the solution for it. So when Rasulullah ﷺ heard of the problem, he then gave Sayyidina Uqasha a stick, a wooden stick. And when Sayyidina Uqasha held it in his hand and moved it, it turned into a white sword, which was called Aun. And he radiallahu ta'ala an then participated in the war with that sword in his entire life and achieved victory as well. SubhanAllah. So this was an amazing miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moreover, in Al-Khasais Al-Kubra, Imam As-Suyuti radiallahu ta'ala an, he mentions that Sayyidina Asad bin Abi Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once passed his blessed hand over my face and chest. SubhanAllah, what amazing sa'adat, how good fortune were these Sahabis that they had the company of the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ actually touched them as well. He once placed his hand over my face and chest. By its blessings, whenever I entered any dark house, it would become bright. SubhanAllah, this was the blessings of this, the hand going over the face and body of a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. Then what about the Prophet ﷺ himself? SubhanAllah. So let's hear about this. In Sunan Darmi, it's mentioned that when the Holy Prophet would speak, it would look as if light, nur, was emanating from the blessed gaps of his sacred front teeth. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ had a small little gap between the two front teeth. And this hadith is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he says that it would be as if light is emanating from the blessed front two teeth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gap between them. Subhanallah, how amazing was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Ash-Shifa Sharif, Imam Qadiyyad, he states that all the doors and walls would illuminate, they would become bright, they would be filled with light whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Subhanallah, what amazing smile that is. And definitely it's a sunnah to smile as well, something that we're not doing in today's day and age. There's a lack of smiling in our societies today. And one of the ways that we can receive positivity in our life, one of the ways that we can reciprocate that positivity in other people's lives as well, is by smiling. So if we smile, then inshallah, this will generate happiness in ourselves and also in other people as well. And you can test this out. Whenever you're feeling sad, just stand in front of the mirror. It might sound a bit awkward, but just smile. And inshallah, inwardly, you'll feel positive about yourself as well. This is the beautiful effects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put and placed in smiling, subhanallah. In Al-Qawl Al-Bari, it's mentioned that Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first Khalifa of Islam, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Sayyidina Aisha is the daughter of the first Khalifa of Islam. As well as this, she is also the wife to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She narrated that once I was sewing some clothes at home at the time of Sahri, which is daybreak morning. And suddenly the needle dropped from my hand and the oil lamp also blew out. At the same time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered the room and the entire home became illuminous with the nur, with the light of the luminous face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I also then found my lost needle as well. Subhanallah. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, we heard about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's miracles, about his blessed body being light emanating from his blessed gaps in his teeth. Subhanallah. And light emanating from not just himself, but the companion that he placed his hands over as well. So one point to remember here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as being human, as well as being Bashar, he is also Nur as well, light as well. And anyone that denies that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Bashar, was a human, then that person is out of the fold of Islam. So both the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simultaneously was a Bashar and also was Nur as well. And this has been proven in many of the ahadith as well as what I have just mentioned before as well. Some other miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of which is regarding a companion of the Prophet which was known as the one who narrated the most ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was also Hafizul Hadith, someone that memorized hadith. My murad is Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. So now, what was the reason why he memorized and narrated so many ahadith? What was the reason behind it, the story behind it? That is also a miracle as well. He says that I once said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayka, I listen to what you say but I tend to forget it. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied to Abu Huraira and said that, oh Abu Huraira, spread your shawl. So I spread my shawl. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then placed something in between it with his hands. And then he ordered me that, oh Abu Huraira, pick it up and embrace it. So I obeyed his order. And since then, my memory has become so strong that I have never forgotten anything. Subhanallah. What a beautiful miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now I would like to discuss, my dear viewers of Madani channel, another miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is related to the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had knowledge of the unseen. Allah azza wa jal states in the Holy Quran in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 179. Translation: and it does not befit the glory of Allah to give the knowledge of unseen, of ghaib, to you, but Allah does choose from His Rasul whomever He wills. Subhanallah. So from this verse of the Quran, we can understand that Allah has chosen from amongst His prophets, from amongst chosen individuals, selected people that have knowledge of the unseen. Another verse of the Holy Quran states in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 113. Translation, and taught you what you did not know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam things that he did not know. Ghuyubat, things which were hidden as well. And it's the belief of the Ahl Sunnah, Sunni Muslims, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the possessor of ilmul ghayb. But remember, a very important point. The difference between the knowledge of unseen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and the knowledge of unseen that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has is that knowledge of unseen of Allah is something which is unattained. It is a zati knowledge, something which is particular to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He did not attain it through any means. But the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the unseen is something which is given, gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another difference is that the knowledge of Allah has no limits, but the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will always have a limit. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam are also alive in their graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 154. Translation, and do not say that those killed in the path of Allah are dead. In fact, they are alive, but you are unaware. So from this we can understand that if those who pass away or who are martyrs in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they die. If they are alive, then most certainly their ranks are much more less than those of the prophets. So the prophets must most definitely be alive as well. And in fact, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam further on proves this. In Sunan Ibn Majah, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَن تَأْكُلَ أَجْسَادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. That Allah has made it haram for the earth to eat the bodies of the Anbiya, of the prophets. Hence, every Nabi of Allah is alive and is given sustenance. Another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun, that the respected Anbiya are alive in their graves and offer salah. So these two hadiths as well also prove that the Anbiya are alive in their graves. So what does this mean? Does this mean that the prophets never received death? So no, every soul is to taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. So the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, they experienced death, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them back their life. Now I want to finish off, viewers of Madani channel, with another mu'jaza, another great miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which is known as the living miracle and something which will remain till the day of Qiyamah. And that is the miracle of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the holy scripture of the Quran, which can never ever be changed, and that will remain until the day of judgment. And inshallah, in next episode, we will be discussing regarding the Quran and other holy scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, help me.